Good morning. For New England Public Radio News, I'm Carrie Healy. The Massachusetts Senate has accepted the resignation letter of Senator Linda Forey. She accepted a job in the private sector. Just weeks before, Forey had been angling to lead the chamber as Amherst Democrat Stan Rosenberg stepped aside amid a sexual harassment investigation into his spouse. Acting Senate President Harriet Chandler said Senator Forey's departure would leave, quote, an immense gap in our building. As we do most Mondays, we check in with State House News Service reporter Matt Murphy. I asked him to talk about the larger ramifications of Forey's departure.
Yeah, I mean, it came as a bit of a surprise. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we were talking about her possibly being the most powerful Democrat in the Senate, and now she's gone. There still are three other Democrats who would potentially like Rosenberg's job, but I think there is a growing sense that perhaps if the committee and the investigation clears him, he will have a glide path back into the Senate presidency.
Speaking of Senator Rosenberg, can you give us a quick update on the policy change that was made last week by that Senate committee investigating Rosenberg?
Yeah, there had been a bit of interest for the past week in how the committee and how the special investigator was potentially handling subpoenas after WGBH and the Boston Globe reported on potential witnesses who may have information valuable to investigators, fearing of coming forward because they didn't want their identities to be made known to the Ethics Committee members. The Ethics Committee itself voted on a motion that would keep everyone's identity from them shielded, and they say that this was just a codification of current practice. But the problem was, if that is in fact the case, they never really communicated to anyone because they are the power that has to okay those subpoenas. They say they're going to do it blindly. Now, if investigators come to them, they will only generally describe who they are subpoenaing. They will not identify the people, and they'll move from there. So this potentially could quell some of those fears of people coming forward, but it remains to be seen.
Last week, there was a huge backlash against the Group Insurance Commission and its decision to reduce the number of health plans offered to state workers and retirees, and a quick disclosure that many NEPR employees get their insurance through the GIC. This week, is the pressure on, and will the spotlight still be on the GIC?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of eyes will be on it. Maybe the final chapter in this saga, which was really just a poorly rolled out major change to health insurance. And I think if we've learned anything, it's that people are very sensitive to changes in their health coverage. The Group Insurance Commission is expected to vote Thursday to take back their decision to consolidate those plans and reinstate the three plans that they had eliminated. Legislators here on Beacon Hill are still planning to go forward this week with oversight hearings, trying to figure out what happened, why this turned into such a mess, and where the GIC is going to go from here, because if they're not going to move forward with this plan, there's still the issue of controlling costs and making sure out-of-pocket expenses for the 450,000 members in the GIC remain under control. So still a lot of questions here, and I don't see the story going away anytime soon.
There's going to be a couple of big addresses made this week. One of them, of course, from President Trump as he makes his first State of the Union address. Another one will be from House Speaker Bob DeLeo, who will be addressing the chamber. Do you get a sense of what Bob DeLeo's message will be to lawmakers?
I think a lot of people are very interested. You know, we heard from the governor last week. He had his agenda. He rolled out his budget. He spoke in the State of the Commonwealth address about wanting to get his second opioid bill done, to get a major housing bill done. But DeLeo really has, in many ways, more control over the agenda on Beacon Hill than the governor. And to hear from him when he speaks to his caucus and his members in the House chamber this week will be telling for what the year to come. I mean, I think they share some of the same goals. I think you'll hear talk about doing something on health care, doing something on opioids, but the speaker may have a few of his own ideas.
That's State House News Service reporter Matt Murphy. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Morning Edition on New England Public Radio.